Today's message, we're going to look at a specific detail in regards to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. So this message would have been great to give around Pentecost time, and it's wild to think that it's already been well over a month since then. But this message will be to help us defend that doctrine that God has willingly given unto us. God the Father and Jesus Christ have blessed us with the knowledge of knowing that the Holy Spirit is His divine power, His essence, the Spirit of God, and is not a third separate being. So this godly wisdom that we hold, we must protect it and hold it strong. That being the case, why do we have specific scriptures that give the Holy Spirit pronouns such as He, Him, or Who? These specific scriptures in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17, which we will turn to, and others make people question why we believe in this doctrine about the Holy Spirit. So with that, let's turn over to John chapter 14, verses 16. And it reads in verse 16, reading from the King James, New King James Version, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." So that scripture sounds almost controversial to others. It may even make us question why. But we shall take a closer look so we could explain to ourselves and possibly others in the future as to why it says this in our Bible. In today's sermonette, we shall explore some foreign languages on how they use gender within their grammar. With that, let's talk about languages. The scripture that was written before Christ was in Hebrew, and the scriptures recorded after Christ were in Greek. Scriptures we now have in our Bibles with us today, us English-speaking people, they are now written in the very language we speak today. Now, for the scriptures to go from ancient Greek all the way through the years, being translated multiple times all the way to modern-day English, we cannot imagine or comprehend that such a task came with ease and was far more complex than meets the eye. We also won't be able to get 100% of the detail by looking at the English translations alone. Through the years, there is a lot of lost meaning. So this could be another example for us today in this message. Since what we now call the New Testament was originally in Greek, let's look at that language. The Greek language is among one of the Romance languages. And of course, Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, Latin, French, etc. are some of these languages. And the unique thing with these languages is that they assign a gender to every single noun. And those genders are masculine, feminine, and neuter. In other words, male, female, and it. So each and every noun is given one of those in the Greek language and the other Romance languages. In Greek, for example, the word sune, which means son, is given a feminine gender. But we look up at the sun's not a woman at all. It's an inanimate object, more powerful than us, but it's not a female. Same word for the moon in Greek. It is masculine. What makes the moon a guy? That's just how their language works. It's different, and we gotta remember that. Now, in English, we have some nouns that are masculine or feminine, but if it's not specified specifically as a masculine or feminine, it is just called an it, not a he or a she, but an it. Even in languages like German, do things different, which is actually not one of the Romance languages, but an example, the word Weib, which means wife, it is given a neuter gender. Therefore, in German, it is polite to call your wife an it. Not at all the case in English. Let us apply this little gender grammar lesson to the scripture now. So right here in John 14, what about this scripture? Well, there's a word that they use here called parakletos, which can be translated in Greek to counselor, helper, comforter, and advocate. Right here in the scripture, we see they use the word helper in verse 16. In Greek, parakletos is of the masculine gender. Therefore, in Greek, it is actually grammatically correct to use the pronouns him or he. What does this mean to us, though? Well, though it may be proper in Greek, but to translate these pronouns of he and him into English is grammatically incorrect. Why? Remember that German example I just gave? For example, if I say my soon-to-be wife, and I'm talking to someone, and I say, "Yeah, Jen, I'm about to be marrying it." Uh-oh. I'd be in trouble if I said that in English. You could apply this very same thing to this word, parakletos. Let's use another example. We'll take that very word, parakletos, and apply it to a mother. Let's translate it. Let me just refine my spot here. There it is. Now, let's use this. My mother is a comforter, or aka a parakletos. Just because that word in Greek is masculine doesn't mean that the associated noun is of the masculine sex. Like in this example, my mother or anyone's mother is not a man. But in Greek, that word is for some reason just given a masculine male gender. We sometimes apply genders to things in our languages too, or in our language, such as, example, my truck. She has got a lot of power to her. Obviously, my truck is neither a female nor a male. We would call the truck an it. The Greeks did this. So do many other languages. They apply genders to nouns. though it may be given a gender, that doesn't mean that it is of that sex. Now let's turn to our next scripture. Actually, I have another one here in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I found this one to be pretty interesting too. There's many others, but we'll look at this one for our last and final scripture for today. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I will be reading from the New King James Version. It reads, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, how many of you are reading the original King James? I see one hand. Well, in the original King James, it doesn't say himself. It says itself. The scripture here is different. It's not parakletos. The word which they use here is pneuma. That translates into spirit and can also be translated to wind or breath. Of course, in this verse, they use the word spirit. In pneuma, that's where we get the word pneumatics or pneumonia. Greek grammar places pneuma as neuter. Therefore, in this case, it is grammatically incorrect to place the pronoun himself in both not only the Greek but also our language as well, the English language. So instead, they should have used the pronoun itself in the New King James. Original King James got that right. You could also see another example of that in John chapter 1, verse 32. We won't turn there, but you can take a look at that scripture later. It says it, John 1, 32. In other words, with all this being said, this scripture right here, they had no excuse to put those improper pronouns in any section, not just this verse, but any section of the scripture in the English language. Anywhere that they used improper grammar in regards to the spirit, they did it out of bias. Why? Because during this time that our King James Version of the Bible was being recorded, and many other versions of the Bible, the Trinity doctrine had already crept in. That heresy had already slithered in like a snake 1,000 years before any Bible was produced. So that's why there is a bit of bias in some of the words in regards to the Holy Spirit. So in conclusion, with all we've talked about, do not be confused with Greek grammar applying gender to its nouns. Remember, different language. It's going to be different from Greek to English. And remember that our language is, of course, far different from the original post-Christ scriptures. And to also replace those pronouns in regards to the Holy Spirit of God with the proper pronouns. Remember this knowledge, do not be tricked by heresy, and may the Holy Spirit be stirred within you, and may it guide you. And key word, may it guide you.